The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. Stephen A. Smith, former Cowboy Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Molly Karam Rose.
How are you? Good morning.
I'm amazing. How are you?
All right. Your voice good? You good? You ready to rock?
I'm all good.
He's I watched
the Eli Payton broadcast, and it was very entertaining and very informative. I enjoyed it very much.
What you mean I'm not all right, man? Now, what you mean I'm not
all right? Tuesday? So your head's been hurting since last week. Since last week. Between the Steelers, the Raiders in Carr, and Chucky.
Okay.
And then last night.
No.
With the Cowboys.
See, you're supposed to be my boy, but that's
how I go.
I feel you. But not today.
Okay.
That's right. Okay.
All right, let's get to it.
Let's go. Cowboys
manhandling the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. Prescott threw for three TDs in his first home game since the injury. Trayvon Diggs returned an interception 59 yards for a score, and Dallas beat the Eagles by 20. Zeke Elliott ran for a season-high 95 yards, two scores. Tight end Dalton Schultz had the first two TD game of his career, except for a fumble in the end zone that gave the Eagles their first TD. Dak on point, 21 of 26, 238 yards without an INT. Mike McCarthy.
This offense is just playing together. We've got a great pace of play that we're playing with. We've got a great brotherhood. Everybody's holding each other accountable. It's fun to be a part of. We've got so many playmakers that don't have egos, and they make my job easy. Offensive line protects, and guys go make plays.
I think he's clearly playing better now. In my opinion, I mean, last year we were in track meets last year. You know, this is clearly a different football team than last year. You're seeing, three games where we were. I feel like we've been very complimentary, both offense and defense. And he's doing a lot in the run game. As far as handling the checks and things like that. But yeah, I feel he's playing better this year than last year.
Even as a Giants fan, because I'm not a petty person, I couldn't be happier for Dak Prescott and how this season's going with everything that he's been through. So setting the table for you, Stephen A. Is this the year that the accident won't happen for Dallas?
Oh, hell no.
Sure feels like it.
Oh, the accident coming. I mean, listen, the setup is beautiful. I get where everybody's saying. And by the way, let me make a prediction right here. The Dallas Cowboys 2-1 right now, right?
That is correct.
They're going to be 8-1. I mean, when I'm looking at the six, they're going to be at least 7-2 or 8-1. I'm looking at them. They got Sam Darnold coming up, and then they got the Giants, and then they got the New England Patriots. So you got Daniel Jones, and then Mac Jones, and Matt Ryan, and Teddy
Bridgewater.
I mean, just stop the presses. Just stop the presses. I mean, we got to stop it right there. Oh, my Lord. Look at who they about to go against. Oh, please. They're going to win their games. They're going to win the division like I said they would. It's going to be a cakewalk because look at their schedule. They ain't really, as far as I'm concerned, it isn't a game they shouldn't win before they go up against Kansas City in like week 9 or 10. So I look at it and I say, all right, Dallas Cowboys going to do that. Everybody going to get excited, Keyshawn. They're going to be all hyped. They're going to get ready to go. But I would remind you, these are the Cowboys that we're talking about already this season. We had Zach Martin out for protocol. We got Leo Collins that's been suspended for PED use, if I remember correctly. What else we got here? We also have Randy Gregory. He's in the lineup. But you know what? Can we rely on Randy Gregory, Keisha? I'm not so sure. We'll see what happens. The list just goes on and on and on. They've made headlines for a potpourri of things before last night took place. And we got to understand, that's just this early in the season. And as things begin to percolate, because these are the Cowboys, they got the star on the helmet, they're playing $1 billion playpen, they got the fly cheerleaders, they got everything, right? Everything is beautiful in Dallas. Expectations are only going to continue to climb, and that's going to make the fall, the drop, that much more painful. I see it coming a mile away, Keyshawn. You can see it too. And last night, last night they went against Jalen Hurts. I keep telling y'all, he got promised. He ain't ready. He ain't ready. He ain't ready.
Why are you going to discount that victory? A W is a W. A win is a win.
A W is a W.
It's the fashion in which they won.
Okay.
Look how they won the game.
Yeah, they were dominant.
Ezekiel Elliott got down.
That's right.
You discovered a new tight end in Swartz. Okay, the receivers did their thing.
Discovered a new tight end. You know the back end of that defense is weak. The front.
You discovered a new tight end. Man, things are beautiful. The plays work to execution the way that they're supposed to, no matter who the defense is, Stephen A.
That's what you look at.
You look at that. You look at, oh, he's going to bootleg. There's the tight end in the flat. He gives it to him. Now he takes it and runs an extra 10, 15 yards for six. That's the beauty of it, no matter who the defense is. And you talk about the schedule. You only plays in front of you, man.
I agree with that.
Okay, yeah, we left too much time. I say we. I don't mean to say we.
Yeah.
We left too much time on the clock.
All right.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think we made that mistake.
Okay.
But the way they played that game, just the way they played it from beginning to end, that could have and should have been a W. They went out to L.A. They took care of business against the Chargers. That's a W. They come home.
Hold on. You say Tampa should have been a W?
Tampa should have been a W.
Why?
They should have been W.
Why? What got hurt?
No.
Whitehead wasn't even
strong. That ain't got nothing to do with that.
That
offense and Dak Prescott coming off his injury for the first time played well enough to win that football game.
And they played well enough to lose, which they did.
It took Tom Brady at the end of that game, which you don't leave him that much time on the clock, or Aaron Rodgers, we know that. They're going to come and get you.
All right.
That was a mistake that was made.
Okay.
And you think the bottom is going to fall out when the team continues. They've never, I don't know when the last time they had this type of momentum going into a season where they're going to win games. You got them at 8-1 before they play the Chiefs. I think that's right.
8-1,
when the last time you seen the Cowboys have a type of season where they're going to be 8-1, 9-1 before they see a real opponent?
That's fair enough.
You learn from those mistakes against those opponents that you take care of. You say, can Randy Gregory hold up? Okay, well, if he doesn't hold up, there's other people. There's Michael Parsons coming to the party.
Michael Parsons is no joke. Trayvon Diggs is big time.
We discovered
Diggs
him
and
last
Parsons
night.
Are no joke.
Okay.
I give love and respect.
So what's the problem?
I give love and respect to both of them. Diggs and obviously Parsons, no joke.
So what's the problem?
Offensively, I've never had any questions about the Dallas Cowboys. What I'm telling you is right now, defensively, they still rank second to last against the pass in the NFL.
Hold on, let's pay attention to all this.
All right, and I'm telling you it's going to continue. I'm telling
it's
you it's going to continue
they
because it's who
better.
They are.
It's a Listen, new scheme.
So what you trying
it's
to say? So let me ask you this question because we just finished talking about the Rams the other day. We recognize we saw what Aaron Rodgers did, okay? We can't ignore that. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are still going to be relevant. San Francisco's nothing to sneeze at. Arizona's coming, okay?
I don't know what that is.
All I'm trying to say to you is, so what you trying to say? What are you?
They're in the pack. You ain't never even had them in the pack. They're in the pack. Are they not in the pack?
They're in the pack.
Okay, so
they're in the pack.
But they're also in a terrible division
that they can own.
Well, I don't care about the division.
That helps them.
No, but I'm saying they're going to win the division. I mean, when I say the
they could get a bye. Yeah.
They got to win. You got to win probably 15 games to get a bye. They probably could do
they
that.
They could.
They probably could, but then you still got Tampa. You can still have the Rams. So, but being in the pack, which means coming to the party.
Mm-hmm.
If you in the dance, you just like everybody else.
So you just like everybody else now. Okay, so let me
ask you
this question.
Excuse me.
Washington was just like everybody else last year. They won a division at 7-9.
Washington wasn't everybody else.
I'm just saying they're in the postseason. Once you're in the postseason, once you're in the dance, you got a chance.
You had a chance.
Once you like that, Ron. Once you're in the dance, you got a chance.
But who did they run up against?
I agree. They ran up against
Tampa. Come on, man.
That's right. And Taylor Heinicke looked decent. Throwing over 300 yards in that particular game.
But you're not going to win against Terrific Tom in that situation.
And let me tell you.
Ain't going out of no damn first round.
And you ain't going to win against Terrific Tom in the Cowboys situation when you meet him again. You're going to fall again.
I don't know.
Listen.
I've been there before where I lost to a team in the regular season, the Philadelphia Eagles, as you remember.
Yes,
and everybody assumed.
You constantly
Brian
remind
Dawkins
me of that.
And everybody thought because they was going to see us in the playoffs, it was going to be a cakewalk.
Well, we thought it was going to be
happens.
A cakewalk. We thought it was going to be a cakewalk because we know you like the sunshine. And you went from Southern Cal to the Florida sunshine. And then that game at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia was damn near 20, 25 below.
That's true.
So we thought the freezing temperatures was going to hamper y'all.
But we answered the bell. And
you did.
The Cowboys are going to answer the bell.
Really?
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Getting in the dance is all I care about.
Right.
They haven't been in the dance in quite some
time. Well, you know they're going to get to the playoffs. They ain't saying nothing.
No, but getting there looking a certain way.
Okay.
They won against the Philadelphia Eagles last night, but they look a certain way.
Are you saying
when a dude go 21 to 26 for 240 yards and three touchdowns and no interception.
Can you tell me?
That's a plus.
Can you tell me that the Philadelphia, that the Dallas Cowboys going to win a playoff game? Are you telling me that?
I believe they will.
I believe they won't. Where we go. Okay.
So that's on record.
All right. It's on record. Damn right. Damn right. I mean, the setup is beautiful. I love this. They even got you. You singing their praises. I love this right here. It's great. The fall is going to be, it's going to be epic. I'm telling y'all right now. It's going to be
and
epic.
If it's not,
I can't wait.
And if they don't. And if it don't go that way.
I'm going to be sick to my stomach, so, but so I got to acknowledge
so you
don't, it. I got to acknowledge
you don't think Dak Prescott right now, based on the three games that you've seen, can lead his team to the NFC Championship game?
I think the defense will get in the way.
You think the defense is going to get in the way? You don't think the defense is going to grow with a new defensive coordinator and a bunch of new bodies? You don't think that defense is going to get better time and time again? Because they certainly play.
Don't talk him out of his position.
No,
no I'm not talking him out.
Who's going to do that? Who the hell is going to do that? Ain't nobody going to do that?
If you look at where they were against Tampa, what they look like against the Chargers, and how dominant they were against a young Jalen Hurts in the Philadelphia Eagles, that's promising. That's progress.
I think it's promising. I'm with you, but I'm with Stephen A. I don't think Philly's that impressive. But
I don't believe the Eagles are going to win a playoff game.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. The Cowboys, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't believe the Cowboys are going to win a playoff game. I'm saying that for the record. The fall is going to be epic. I'm trying to tell y'all right now. I've got y'all on record, too. Just be clear about that.
It's a new day, Stephen A. More on this game later. There's going to be a lot of feelings in this next one, too. I might be more excited for Sunday than the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, the Patriot legend of all legends, returns to his home of 20 years, Foxborough, to face the guy he won six Super Bowls with who wanted him out. Brady certainly used that as motivation, winning a Super Bowl in his first year with his new squad, but there won't just be vengeance on his mind. A lot of nostalgia, emotional feelings as well. Here's our Jeff Darlington with Tom Brady.
What will that be like, Tom? What will it be like?
I know exactly how it's going to be like. I won't share it with anyone because I feel like I want to keep that to myself until, you know, what I know what that experience will be. But I have a really good idea of what that'll be like because I want to help it prepare for ultimately, my performance. And I'm going to use what I've learned over the years to, you know, hopefully go out there and play a great game.
That's interesting. You're saying you know what it'll – you've internalized what it'll feel like.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly. I can envision everything. Sunday Night Football.
You can catch Jeff Darlington's full interview with Tom Brady this Sunday on NFL Countdown, where Randy Moss, Teddy Bruschi, the rest of the crew will be live from Gillette Stadium. It all kicks off Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Here's Bill Belichick on Brady yesterday.
I think we've been through all the dynamics of that. There are a lot of things there that, he looked at his options and made his decision. We weren't as good an option as Tampa. So, I mean, you'd have to ask him about all that, but that's really – wasn't a question of not wanting, that's for sure.
Okay. Keyshawn, I want to start with you here. Should Bill Belichick have regrets on how this ended or ending it prematurely?
No, he shouldn't. I mean, he answered it right there by saying Tampa Bay was a better situation – given he's realistic in the situation. They didn't have anything. And if I'm Tom Brady and I'm looking at it and I want to not only have fun in my life and get out of whatever people think I'm being handcuffed and I have a personality that I want to show the world and I can't do it because we do things a certain way in Tampa in Boston, then no, there's no regrets. He had conversations with Tom about extending his deal. Tom didn't want to extend the deal. Tom wanted to be a free agent to look and see how he can get back to the Super Bowl the fastest way, Molly. Mm-hmm. And that was going to Tampa Bay. He looked at San Francisco. He looked at the Chargers. He took a look in Las Vegas. And he finally decided to settle in at Tampa Bay because it made the most sense. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
You don't think he would have preferred to stay in New England if they got the right pieces around
him? But you're not going to get the same pieces in New England, Stephen A. and Molly, as they got in Tampa in free agency. There's no damn way. Where you getting Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and Gronkowski didn't want to go back to New England? So you got to get Gronk to come to Florida. They are AB. You saw what he did. He torched New England when he left and Mr. Kraft. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you go down there. That defense at the time was playing lights out with Todd Bowles. That wasn't going to happen in New England. So when you look at everything, the more pieces and it's better for him to settle in Florida. And I'm sure Giselle had something to do with that. Giselle had already spoken to Mr. Kraft in the past about the treatment of her husband not feeling as though he's not being treated a certain way. It had nothing to do with money. A lot of people think, oh, they didn't want to give him a contract. That was not it. Tom just wanted
to. Well, they don't need money. So
Tom just wanted to leave. Tom just didn't want to be handcuffed. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
I respectfully disagree with you, understanding that not only did you play and you're a champion, you're incredibly connected to the NFL. But I'm a reporter and I hear what I hear as well. And I respect where the hell you're coming from. And for the most part, you're right on the money. Here's where I jump away from what you're saying, Keyshawn. Everything didn't come down to the final moment when Tom Brady decided to leave. It was years in the making. And it was years in the making because, as Alex Guerrero, his conditioning coach, articulated, Bill Belichick never evolved. He was always treating Tom Brady like that guy that arrived in his 20s. He didn't adjust. And when you take into account the fact that Tom Brady, who played there, was there 20 years, 6 Super Bowl wins, 9 Super Bowl appearances, okay? For him to do what he did, he should have never been just another guy. He should have never been just another player. You know, everybody ain't Keyshawn Johnson. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you got cats on your show in the morning where you know what is Jay and Max. Well, damn it, it's Keyshawn. Keyshawn is Keyshawn, okay? All right? Everybody's valuable, but everybody ain't the same. Okay? It's just that simple. When you look at athletes, everybody's not the same. And when you have this mentality that I'm not going to evolve and I'm not going to adjust and I'm going to be as rigid as I've always been, and you're just another guy to me, that's a problem. I reported the day that Tom Brady announced that he was leaving New England that I was specifically told if Tom wanted to stay, we would have worked it out. And all it would have took for him to stay is Bill Belichick saying, I want you to stay. And the fact that Bill Belichick couldn't bring himself to do that is a problem. And then when you take into account the fact that Bill Belichick is essentially your GM as well as your head coach, the absence of personnel that they had for years. No, it might not have been a combination of Evans and Godwin and O.J. Howard and Gronk and Antonio Brown and Scott Miller. But damn it, you could have had, you certainly could have upgraded to a point where it wasn't as bereft of talent as it was Tom Brady's last year.
Can I cut you off, though, real quick, man?
He didn't do that for years.
Can I cut you off, though?
Sure.
Didn't they just win a damn Super Bowl 2 Super Bowls ago?
Yes.
What are you talking about, Stephen A?
Let me tell you why. Because Tom Brady, as y'all have said, remember, I'm deferring to y'all. As y'all have said, Tom Brady looked around. He looked at the situation. He looked at what he was working with and didn't like it. So a lot of times that contributed. I realized that, first of all, it was a brilliant question. And to a lesser brilliant mind, you would have gotten away with that.
I'm giving
you the question. Tom Brady, because that points to what Tom Brady is saying. This is why he feels he should be appreciated. Because on many occasions, he looked at what he was able to do and how his talent and his level of brilliance were able to overcome what you lacked in terms of what you gave him to work with. He found a way to work around it anyway, and you still wouldn't appreciate it if you're Bill Belichick.
You can't.
That's the issue.
When you go out and you're spending money for years to get to 9 Super Bowls and win 6 of them, at some point, there is a salary cap. You have to pay the piper. No matter what anybody says, this year was the time for them to spend money, not last season during the pandemic. Nobody could spend any money.
I understand that.
Nobody could spend any money, so they couldn't go out and get the type of players to rebuild.
Keyshawn, remember, Tom Brady, for many years, over the course of his career, had, you know, altered his salary, modified, took pay cuts, all of that stuff. He made all the necessary sacrifices to assist in Bill Belichick winning. So when we ask the question, should Bill Belichick have regrets, you're damn right, because he didn't just do it for you in terms of his performance on the field. He made adjustments to put you in a position to go out and get some personnel in order for him to win, and you still wouldn't appreciate it.
No, hold on. Keyshawn, look at me. It feels like you're handling the situation as Keyshawn Johnson, not Tom Brady. Like, you're diffusing the situation. You're like, it's all business. Tampa was a better situation. How you you would have felt about it. But I don't believe that's how Tom Brady feels about it when we hear his father coming out and saying, like, damn right it's personal. Bill wanted him out. And then Alex Guerrero, hold on, let me finish. Then Alex Guerrero coming out and saying what he did about the mistreatment. So I feel like you're looking at, oh, there's just purely this business. There's so much more to that. There's 20 years of history.
I do, okay. Have I been around coaches in my career that wear on me? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tom's been around Bill that wear on me, or wear on him. 20 years of Bill Belichick grinding the same things, of course you're going to feel a certain way. That's why Bill said the situation was better down in Tampa for him. That's why I said what I said about personnel. It's better in Tampa for him. But you can't sit here and tell me that for 20 years, Tom Brady didn't get to do what he wanted to do, because I remember many times looking in the offseason and Tom Brady was off doing whatever he was doing with his family, enjoying while everybody else was in training camp or mini camps working, because they gave him some leeway. Does Tom Brady need to be treated like Michael Jordan? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. But guess what, Stephen A. and Molly? That's not his plan. That's not Bill Belichick. No. That's just not who he is.
Right.
He'd rather take the L than take the W's if he has to change.
Okay.
And that's what, just how listen, stubborn coaches. Bill Jackson,
but
stubborn in basketball.
But I think what you're missing, we're not saying that Bill Belichick is any different than you described. What we're saying is, you should regret that in the end if you're about
winning. But I don't think he's regretting it, though, because he ain't going to.
No, we're not talking about what he feels. We're talking about what he should feel, in our opinion. Yes. And what I'm saying to you is that he should regret it if he's about winning, because the reality is that the situation that you have now, the situation that you had last year, would have been non-existent if 5 years earlier you had sat up there and go, damn, this is a dude that's really done a lot for me.
So maybe my mind is a little twisted, because when you're having conversations and that same question is like, what do you think? He goes, and this is from Belichick in conversation.
Yeah, sure.
That he doesn't regret the situation because they had great years together. It was fine. They went to 9 Super Bowls and won 6.
Okay.
So he's satisfied with what they were able to accomplish over a 20-year period.
All right.
So that's why
so
I say.
So Bill's cool, but we're saying maybe Tom Brady
maybe
isn't.
Not, maybe
he,
Tom isn't.
He would have preferred to stay there.
Probably
and
so.
And now he's probably happy with how it planned out.
Oh, he's certainly happy. You could just tell
of
based on how
so the plan
he
worked out better
lot.
For him.
Yeah, it worked out better for him.
But
because
I think
you're being stuck, though,
his wife wouldn't have went and talked to the owner. Trust me, if his heart wasn't with the organization.
It's like he felt like he was being stuck in jail.
I go back. See, this is the difference. See, I'm the affectionate, it's like an oxymoron. I'm the affectionate nightmare, this man. I've known this man for over 20 years. You understand what I'm trying to say? You talk, if he were Tom Brady and he got treated like that, he'd be like, you damn right he regrets it. He should regret it. He should have treated me better.
Well,
it's hard, though, Stephen A., because right. I was never treated
right
a certain way. Like, my coaches always treated me different. Like, Bill Parcells treated me different than he treated everybody else.
Probably because
Tony Dungy treated me different. Coach Fox treated me different. Gruden tried to, but then he tried to be that tough guy. It's like, well, wait a minute, my other coaches treat me different. It ain't going to work.
That's right.
So you got to know every individual when you're a coach, who is what. Yeah. That's just how it is.
You got you.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fun Sunday, that's for sure.
I can't wait.
And leading up to it'll be even more fun.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. The Browns had a field day in Justin's first career start as a Chicago Bear. He took 9 sacks, more sacks than completions. He had 6 and was hit 16 times. For last Sunday's game in Cleveland, Andy Dalton was hurt. Nick Foles was the backup. Justin Fields is a starter. Matt Nagy on who will start Sunday against the Lions.
No, they're all three under consideration right now, you know, in regards to where they're at. So we'll just have to kind of see the next couple days where they're all at. We know where Nick's at health-wise, but we just want to keep an eye on Justin and Andy, and then for us to stay on that and make sure that we have a plan for any of those.
I brought in another champion to enjoy the party here. What's going on, Jeff Saturday?
Hey, glad to be here.
Glad to see you. I want to start with you. How's he handling this situation, Matt Nagy?
Well, he just said a key word. He said in our planning. And from last Sunday's performance, that's a lot of planning going on right now. And when you talk about 3 quarterbacks, like, I don't even understand that conversation. Like, this was not on Justin Fields and his performance. This was a situation where you put him out in a situation where he could not succeed. Could he have played better? Sure. But after you've been hit 16 times, you think you're making clear decisions? Absolutely not. The game plan that the Browns brought in was a poor game plan, and it should have been switched. Like, it's not that hard, Key. It's not that hard, Stephen A., to say, hey, we're getting smoked on the outside. Let's bring some tight ends in to balance some stuff out. Let's make sure we're chipping. Let's make sure we're really sitting inside. I mean, there were literal plays where they would have – there were 13 out of 20 plays where they literally let the Browns defense just tee off on them. And instead of having any kind of response to it, hey, think about the Green Bay Packers, how they played the 49ers. They came in, they were bringing dudes in on the sides, and they were trying to break Bosa's ribs. I mean, they're smoking dudes on the – giving their defensive pass rush something to think about. Mm-hmm. The Bears never did that. So now you're adding on. You're making a bad situation worse when you're saying, oh, now we don't know it could be any of 3 quarterbacks. Unless Fields can absolutely not play, he's got to be your guy so you can build around him. He has to learn. The only way to learn – is to go through situations like Sunday and come out the following Sunday and be better. So I'm really disappointed when you talk about, oh, we're trying to match this, we're trying to figure this out. He should have said, if Fields is healthy, he's going to be my guy. He's going to come back in, and that's what we're going to do and moving forward.
Chicago Bears, they ranked dead last in the passing game, dead last in yards accumulated, second last in points scored. Here's the part with all the things that you just said, which is right on the money, but one thing you didn't illuminate nearly as much as you should have. Based on what Matt Nagy said to the press, why the hell wasn't Nick Foles starting last week against Cleveland? That's the whole point.
And that's the message.
So the point is, going into the game, what I said was, Justin Fields is a rookie. Obviously, you know, you're going to give him some reps. He's the future of the franchise, et cetera, et cetera. But when you got Myles Garrett, Davion Clowney, and those boys coming at you, that doesn't need to be your first start. Not with that anemic offense, not with that offensive line, not with Matt Nagy being the guy at the helm. You don't need to put him in that situation. If you're going to start the brother, start him against the Lions instead of against the Cleveland Browns, even though the Lions haven't been bad this year. Here's my point. In the end, after that disastrous performance where Justin Fields gets sacked 9 times, gets slaughtered,
yeah,
you come out the next day, and what do you say? I don't know who my quarterback is, which means it could be anybody. And if it could have been anybody, why wouldn't it be a guy that won a Super Bowl championship for you that's been in the league for 10 years? Why wouldn't it be that guy that was standing on the sideline next to the injured Andy Dalton saying, this offense don't work?
Ooh.
Literally on the sidelines. I'm quoting Nick Foles here. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's just the latest element that highlights Matt Nagy may not be the guy for this job in Chicago. Certain dudes are coordinators. That's who they are.
When they call plays.
When they call plays.
He wasn't calling plays in Kansas City.
There you go. So, I understand that. Well, Eric Bieniemy, we all want him to be a coach.
Eric Bieniemy is calling plays.
Yeah, but sometimes Andy Reid was in the past. And that's why we were lamenting it, because we were like, if Andy Reid, if you really, really support this brother, being a guy that should be a head coach in the NFL, let him call some plays so everybody isn't looking at you and saying, you're the guy really calling the plays. Let Eric Bieniemy do that. I understand that wasn't Matt Nagy, but in the end, It still comes down to the fact this man doesn't seem equipped to be a head coach of an NFL franchise.
And you hide behind head coaches all the time. We see it in New England with Bill Belichick. Because of the success that you have, people automatically assume that that guy behind him is going to be successful. Mm-hmm. Now, look, Jeff is right. It's simple, man. I could, right now, having not been in the NFL, in a coach's room, I can literally, I promise you, walk into Chicago this week and put a game plan together, and that brother will have more success than he did against me.
Right, right.
Really? I promise you.
It was that bad guy?
It was because awful, it's man. Not that difficult.
Right.
They make it more complicated than anything. And I heard what you said. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles should be the starter. Why would you blah, blah, blah against
Cleveland. Against Cleveland, yes.
But that's not true, though. Here's why. The game plan sucked. They didn't move him nearly as much as they should have. And to the point where when you start hearing people like Myles Garrett laughing at the fact that he got 4.5 sacks.
He said he was shocked. He said he was shocked.
They was anticipating being chipped on the edges, tight ends coming in motion, receivers coming down the block, the seal off the edges. None of that ever happened.
Well, remember, just correct before I let y'all chime back in. I didn't take the position that Justin Fields shouldn't start against Cleveland because of Justin Fields' talent.
I understand.
I took the position because of who he was playing for, which is Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, no, not him in that situation because I can't trust Matt Nagy.
He didn't put a competent game plan together to protect the dude.
Right.
If you put a game plan together for him to have success, like even though Mac Jones is 1-2, he's having success
absolutely
as a rookie in New England because that game plan works for his youth.
Right. Yeah.
They'll take the training wheels off at some point in time. But not right now.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even put a training wheel package together for Justin Fields in Chicago.
And when you talk,
so you don't have a chance.
Yeah, when you talk about ruining guys, you know, you always hear about like quarterbacks don't need to be bubble wrapped. Like this whole conversation of you can ruin a guy. You ruin a guy because you create poor habits for that player long term, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's about the process for a quarterback. Why I say young quarterbacks should play early is because you need to learn that process. Like, he'll go in. Justin Fields should go in. There's a play where he did a zone read, and they trigger blitzed him, and they sacked him, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they had the tight end blocking Myles Garrett on the left-hand side. Well, the problem was he's turning left, and his open receiver's going to be on his right. Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, they would call off the play action. Yeah. Hey, no. Free release, do what you're going to do. I'm going to pop out and do that. Justin Fields can go back and look at that. When he was max protected and took a sack, it was a 3rd and 10, and they run basically hooks, and the defense is playing at the sticks to prevent it, right? Dump it off to the tight end. You might not get the first down, but you won't take the sack. That's a learning process. That's a process to teach a quarterback, hey, here's some things you can work on. The problem is when you let him get hit like he did, now they create habits where, man, they're
pull
panicking.
Pull him down, I'm gone.
Yeah,
I'm
they're going to panic,
down,
man. And now it's not a process of rolling him out of the pocket, doing the nekeds and boots and protecting
but
him. It's hurrying to make a play happen that's going to create bad habits for interceptions
and
sacks.
There's no debate in here. I'm asking. I'm just asking questions now.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Based on what you're both telling me, why should Justin Fields play in another game this season as long as Matt Nagy is the starter?
Right now.
Why should he play? Because based on what you said, I mean, if you're talking about they didn't come with a training wheels playing.
Hopefully, the coaches learn from this past weekend. Hopefully. We've seen them 2 years or last year.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle to figure out Mitch Trubisky beginning. Well, the beginning was okay.
That's the most worrisome part, too.
Then,
that's a great point.
The second half of the season, they kind of started to let Mitch Trubisky do Mitch Trubisky things. But by then, the town of Chicago had soured on Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
He never had a real shot to come back.
But see,
I had to move on from it. So it's not that they're not incompetent to figure it out.
It's not competent.
It's just, can they figure it out? Because you can't tell me, Jeff, what is it, 9 dudes on a coaching staff on offense?
Come on.
You can't tell me 9
some
coaches on a coaching staff on the offensive side are all blind to what just happened.
And I don't believe that either. I got you.
Key's point about Trubisky, they put him in a drop back in a pocket passer position, which was not the best benefit. They did the same thing to Fields on Sunday. So what does that do? That puts him on the defensive all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He can't use his athleticism. Mm-hmm. When you get a guy moving and he's in the flow
of
the game,
going.
He can now manipulate defenders. So the problem with what my concern would be, Ryan Pace, their general manager, his first meeting should have been with Nagy after the game. We will not have this again.
I'm going to tell you where I'm at with it. Based on what y'all, I'm going off of what y'all are telling me.
Yeah.
This is my position. I would be fearful of putting Fields back in the game as long as Matt Nagy is coaching. And if I don't see any adjustments made by Matt Nagy,
in some capacity, I'm not waiting till the end of the season. He'd be gone in a matter of I'd give him a couple of weeks.
But I'm the general manager. He's tied to me. We're going to go together.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. And that's the problem
unless
of Chicago.
The owner and the president make a decision to say both of y'all go.
Well, that's what you're talking about here. Yeah. So really, now we get to the heart of what really is the problem in Chicago. You've got a GM and a head coach
that are tied
at the hip together, and as a result, you're going to see limited movement unless ownership gets involved. And if ownership gets involved, it ain't going to be one of them that's going. You got to get rid of both of them. Fields is getting screwed over.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. The whole Tide thing, the problem is their defense is so good, they're going to keep them in games.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to win some games. They're going to sneak up and win some games.
I don't think that's a problem. You know why I don't think that's a problem? Because that's happened with Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
You saw the defense get compromised to some degree because Trubisky couldn't get it done under Matt Nagy.
But, yeah.
So why wouldn't that happen
to Fields? If they go 8-9 or 9-8,
Do they
keep them? I mean,
no.
That's going to be the concern.
No, they got to go.
That's the whole tie together.
Here's what you do if you want to win some games and you want to stay competitive in the division.
Right.
Run the football.
Absolutely.
Play defense. Play defense. Run the football. And every now and then, use your athletic ability. That's all you got to do, and you're going to win a lot of games. Dropping him back.
No.
Yeah.
Is
where he's
not
pressured 60% of the time. Yeah, absolutely. All right. They'll be looking for their second win this Sunday when the Detroit Lions come to town. We'll keep it rolling here. Jeff, you'll be back. We got a Stephen C list coming up.
We're ready. We're ready.
See, that's betrayal.
No,
that's betrayal right there.
I didn't mean to say that.
Hey, you're being honest. I'm with you, Molly.
Freudian slip.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kyrie Irving didn't attend the team's media day at Barclays Center Monday because of New York City's COVID-19 protocols, and he declined to discuss his vaccination status or his intentions in dealing with the matter. Last month, New York City's mayor issued an executive order that required New York resident pro athletes that practice or play indoors to show proof of at least one vaccination shot. On the West Coast, Golden State Warriors swingman Andrew Wiggins also not budging with his vaccination status. His request for a religious exemption was denied. Here they both are.
I like to keep that stuff private, man. I'm a human being first, and obviously, living in this public sphere, there's just a lot of questions about what's going on in, you know, in the world of Kyrie. And I think I just would love to just keep that private and, you know, handle it the right way with my team and go forward together with the plan. So, you know, obviously, I'm not able to be present there today, but that doesn't mean that I'm putting any limits on the future of me being able to join the team. And I just want to keep it that way.
Back is definitely, you know, against the wall. But I'm just going to keep fighting for what I believe. And whether it's one thing or another, get the vaccination or not get the vaccination, who knows? I'm just going to, you know, keep fighting for what I believe and what I believe is right. You know, what's right to one person isn't right to the other, you know, vice versa.
All right. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar losing patience and expressing a call to action, telling Rolling Stone the NBA should insist that all players and staff are vaccinated or remove them from the team. There is no room for players who are willing to risk the health and lives of their teammates and the staff and fans simply because they are unable to grasp the seriousness of the situation or do the necessary research. Mm-hmm. Jay Will here with us now. Stephen A., yeah. I will start with you. Do you agree with Kareem?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm on the record for saying that. Let's understand something here, okay? And I openly admit to Keyshawn and Jay, I'm about to lose my mind over this, because if I hear one more dude talk to me about privacy, two things that gets on my damn nerves about this. Privacy and I need to do my research. Really? How long has COVID existed?
It's been a minute.
It's been 2 years.
What, 2 years in February?
What the hell you mean? What have you been doing? If research is that important to you, you had the season stopped March 11th last year because of COVID. Restarted in January. That's 4 months. That's 4 months right there. This is before the vaccine came out. But you had 4 months to do some research. Then after that, there was bubble play from late July to October. Then you had 2 more months before last season happened. And then you had last season that went from December to July. You play basketball for a living. How much time do you need to research? That's number one. Then you got these guys with the privacy thing. Well, listen to this. I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with that. You know, I don't have a right to look at your medical records and see your medical history. No, I'm not saying that. But if you can contaminate me with COVID,
I need to know.
I do have a right to know.
Fair point.
If you vaccinated or not, I got a right to know that. We're not asking about anything else. We're asking about COVID and COVID only. That's number two. Number three, Andrew Wiggins, even though he could ball, he's the quietest number one overall pick that I've encountered in recent memory. You get paid $31 million. Kyrie, you know, you're getting 35. I will remind everybody, this is the same Kyrie that is a member of the National Basketball Players Association. He's a vice president.
Vice president.
Okay, check this out, Keyshawn. You get hurt before COVID. The season gets canceled. They get ready to re-jumpstart the season in July in the bubble. You encouraging people not to play. You ain't even called the president, Chris Paul, to talk to him about it. You just went out there and said what you had to say and just ignored everybody else. Then you come out, and after being gone, because you didn't play in the bubble, so after being gone from March all the way to December, the season starts up again, and 3 weeks to a month into the season, you take 2 weeks off. You need a break after 9 months off. And now here you are. Media day shows up. You know where to be found. You see, this is what y'all have to be remembered. You've got coaches, administrators, arena officials.
Referees.
Everybody's been mandated to be vaccinated. But the players, because you haven't reached an agreement with the union. And you standing up here knowing that New York and San Francisco are the two cities that said, you don't play unless you vaccinated. You don't go to indoors.
Two cities
and you,
for now.
And you ain't, and for now. And you ain't show up. Kyrie is a superstar. Box office. But if the American public is sitting back and going like this, you know what, he getting on my damn nerves. I'm sick and tired of this dude. We out here, millions of people losing their jobs. People have lost their lives and what have you. And you taking this stance or whatever, hell with it. The NBA is a private industry. I sit up there and look, y'all. You ain't vaccinated, you ain't playing. That would be me. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, the privacy issue, I get. I don't really want to, unless it affects me, I really don't want to know anything about your personal. I'm just
None of my business.
Would you want to know if Stephen A. and I weren't vaccinated and you had to come do the show with us without a mask on?
I know you're vaccinated, though.
But I said, would you want to know? Because it's a similar situation.
I would want to know.
Yes. Yeah.
So I would want to know. But this is what I would say about.
So for teammates, it's fair for them, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. But they know.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
They already know. They know. So what I would say to that is, there's consequences in these leagues to guys not being vaccinated. Because one thing the owners will not do, especially like in football, they're not going to lose money. They're not going to forfeit games and cancel games. They're not doing that. That's why all these protocols are put in place. So if anything happens, we're going to remove you. And I understand exactly what Kareem and Stephen A. are saying. If you are affecting the bottom line, which not means your money as a player, but people in the building that work, staff, ushers, things of that nature, you're putting them in harm's way, you need to be removed and put to the side. Now, I can't get into why a person decides to do it and why a person doesn't decide to do it. I'm like, Stephen A., you got all day long. You done had a long time to figure it out. If I can figure it out like that, I know damn, and I'm an athlete, I know damn well some of these athletes can figure it out. Because I'm really honestly listening to the dudes with the white suits and the pins in their pocket. That's why I'm the doctors, that's right. scientists, that's people right. that know.
Not my teammates.
Not my damn teammates.
Epidemiologists.
No. So,
let me tell you what one of those doctors, I spoke to him last night, Dr. Leroy Sims, who is the head physician of the entire NBA, was monumental in structuring the bubble. Over 90% of the players in the league are vaccinated. So I know we're talking about Andrew Wiggins right. or a comment that D'Angelo Russell right. made or Kyrie Irving, but the majority of the league is vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Here is where I think, let's talk about across the river here for a second, in Brooklyn. I feel like Sean Marks and Joe Tsai are stuck. You guys say, hey, mandate it. They can't mandate it because it's a union issue. According to the union, when this concept came up in August, it was a non-starter. Yes.
Dead on arrival.
So it's unprecedented. There are no, like, they're trying to put in protocols, but it hasn't been agreed upon yet. So here's why I feel like Sean Marks and Joe Tsai are stuck. Kyrie Irving has already leaked from his camp that says, hey, if I go somewhere else, I'm not playing. I won't play.
That's right.
I'll retire. Mm-hmm. So think about it. If you're an opposing team, if you're the Cleveland Cavs, you're like, I would love to have Kyrie back on Cleveland, but I can't do that. I can't give up my valuable assets if I know I'm going to get something in return that is not constant, that is volatile like that. So the question comes down to, well, Joe Tsai, what extent can he go to try to get the city of New York to consent in that one particular place over there? I know it's absurd. Right. I know it's crazy. But Joe Tsai has a lot of friends in those positions politically. If you feel like a player is not going to play 41 home games, that's a lot of money leave on the table. You start looking at those type of options. I'm not saying you do it.
But how is that going to look, that kind of treatment?
Not just that. I will tell you this, and this is where it gets interesting, and this is where the players actually have a point. Kyrie can't play at the Barclays Center based on the current New York mandate. But a visiting player who's unvaccinated can.
Yes.
That's problematic. That is problematic. That makes no sense. And to me, if I'm Kyrie and I'm Andrew Wiggins, that's the number one argument I have. As a matter of fact, it might be the only argument I have in my defense. The fact that a visiting player who is unvaccinated can come and play in the arena at the Barclays Center.
It feels hypocritical.
Or San Francisco. Yeah. That is hypocritical. That is an inconsistency that I would illuminate big time. And I would even, despite how
who dropped the ball on that, though?
I don't know. Well, I just know that the league rules city of San Francisco, city of New York, basically said, you reside in New York and you're not vaccinated, you can't play at the Barclays Center. But if you're visiting, then you can. It makes no sense. They gotta address that because Andrew Wiggins and Kyrie Irving have a point with that. My other point is, I'm glad that you brought up the fact that the Brooklyn Nets are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because when people were attacking me when I said last week, you understand what I'm saying, that they would move Kyrie in a heartbeat if KD would let them, okay, I meant it. I ain't chucking and jiving. I'm not wiggling my way around. I'm telling you what the hell I know, okay? Here's the reality. Your point is absolutely on point because that's one element as to why it's close to impossible to move Kyrie because KD don't want that. That's his man. He loves that brother. He don't want him to go the way. And we all love Kyrie as a basketball player because he's marvelous. The other side is Kyrie, he's so eccentric. When he sits up there and says, I might retire, you know, I kind of believe him.
I believe it too.
I believe him. I don't believe he's faking. I mean, he is the kind of person. Well, is he going to walk away from 35 million he this might, year, 36. He might do that.
Already a gross earning of $126 million he's earned.
But he's the earned. one thing.
He can make.
Last word here, guys. This is a great conversation.
You make a lot of money.
Though.
You make a lot of money, but when you leave that sport, Jay, as you know, it's hard to come back.
That's right.
Well, your love for the game supersedes the money.
Yes.
But you're thinking about it rationally.
Yeah. He ain't rational.
Yeah. I'd like to see where the players' union is on this, how divided they are, if they want to get something done.
The problem is they got to support the player.